Okay, shall we start? You hear my voice? Okay, I hate mics, but I was told I have to wear a mic because this goes somewhere. Anyhow, if you can't hear me, just have your hand. Good afternoon. My name is Pasi Ikonen, as you see. I come from the teacher training department. Shortly about my background, I graduated this university long time ago. Actually, I was studying in this same lecture hall, late 1980s. That was a time way before Ruusupuisto, and this main hall, main building was actually, the teacher training department was located here. So this is a really memorable place for me. Haven't been here for a long time. I studied to be a primary school teacher and a subject teacher on secondary level, and I did that work about 15 years before coming back to university, early 2000 something. I came here to teach Finnish primary school class teacher students, and did that about 5 years. Then I joined our faculty's international programs, and I spent like 8 years training international teachers here in Jyväskylä, and also I did quite a lot of traveling training teachers in their home countries. That's very shortly my background. I would like to know at least a little bit about you, because even though we probably won't meet except with some students who are participating in my courses, but please tell me your name, where you come from, what's your major subject?
My name is Suvi. I'm
okay.
From Finland, and I'm studying my master's in educational sciences in the international program.
Okay, nice to meet you. I'm happy that we have nowadays also Finnish students in that program. I used to teach in that program quite a long time ago, but that time it was all international students. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else from Finland? Nope. Please.
Sam from India, and I'm Suvi's classmate.
Okay. Is this your first or second year?
First year.
First year. Which part of India, which state or city?
Born in the south, lived in Bangalore, worked in Delhi.
Okay. Anyone else from India? Which state you come from?
Karnataka.
Okay. Mostly welcome. Visited there a couple times, just shortly. But no, most welcome. Oh, sorry. Anyone else from States? No one else. Okay.
I'm Joke. I'm from Belgium, and I do the same master program.
Okay. Anyone else from Belgium? You do your PhD here?
No,
just visiting. Okay, mostly welcome. More people coming.
Sorry.
Mostly welcome. Always room for one more. Which city you come from?
Yaroslav.
Okay. Mostly welcome. Anyone else from Russia?
Yes.
And we are sharing another course also. Anyone else from Spain? Okay. Which city? Atletico Real. You will pass this course. I'm not sure about you. No, my son is a football player, and we traveled to Madrid to see Tico's play, so. But it's okay. Please.
I'm Jan, I'm from Kazakhstan, studying here a master program in the cultural management and communication.
Anyone else from Kazakhstan?
No.
It's not that rare. Please.
I'm from Russia,
Anyone else from Japan? Okay, which city you come from?
Next to Tokyo.
Next to Tokyo. I never heard that city. And you?
I'm from
okay.
California.
I know. You? Okay. And what island is that?
Kyushu.
Okay. Hiroshima. Okay. I just came back from Japan a couple of weeks ago. I went to Tokyo and Hakone and Kyoto. Yeah. Okay, then next one. Where do you come from? Hong Kong. Okay. And what is your major studies? Most welcome. Anyone else from Hong Kong? Please. I saw exchange. Anyone else from Peru? Which city you come from?
Lima.
Okay. Welcome. Please. And the city of?
Brno.
Okay. I've been in Brac, but never in Brno. And then, who is next? You are from Japan. Where do you come from? Yes? Oh, sorry, you were also from Hong Kong. Sorry. Please.
I'm Qiwei. I come from China, and now I'm doing my master in educational science.
And your city, where you come from?
Mm-hmm.
Beijing. I've been in Beijing several times, teaching local teachers. But anyone else from China? Mainland? City of? What city? Sorry? Chengdu. Oh. I've met a lot of teachers from Chengdu. Xi'an, okay? And Wuhan. Wuhan. Okay. Sorry, my Chinese pronunciation is far from perfect, but you have accepted, please.
I'm Nicole. I'm from Greece, and I do the master's in English.
And the city of?
Athens.
I've been there 70 times. Nice place. Please. Anyone else from Greece? First or second year?
First year.
And the city of? Vilnius. Okay. Anyone else from Lithuania? Please.
My name is Natalia and I'm from Slovakia. I study special education.
And the city of? Yeah. Anyone else from Slovakia? And you come from Budapest. Anyone else from Hungary? Please.
I'm Veronica, I'm from Superbowl and I study primary education.
And you come from the city of?
Prague.
Yes. Nice place.
I'm from the Czech Republic too and I study primary education.
Okay. Anyone else from Czech? You also. Okay. And then we have, I think we know already where you come from, please. Psychology, your main subject.
Yeah.
Are you doing here an exchange program or?
Oh, yeah, an exchange program for the year.
Okay, and which city you come from?
Two.
Yeah. Yes, I've been there. I spent two nights there. Quite a long time ago, when I was still much younger. Anyone else from France? Where do you come from?
Versailles.
Yeah. Versailles also. Please. And you come from the city of?
Oldenburg.
How do you spell it?
O-L-D-E-N.
Oldenburg.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Hi, I'm Liu, and I'm from Japan.
Okay. Nice to meet you. Who else? You Spain?
Wales.
Yeah. Okay. And? Okay. And city of? Town of each very small village from each woman. Don't be ashamed about your roots.
Okay.
couple, whilst university is a couple years. I think it's been quite. Anyone else from Wales? Okay. Yeah. A city of? Okay. We know each other. I know him. Tehran, please. Anyone else from Poland? Which you come from? All from Warsaw, no? New Warsaw? Another city I never heard. Near Tokyo, near Warsaw. Hey. Takes a couple of minutes, but somehow I feel more comfortable when I know at least something about you. Okay, today's topic, basic education in Finland. Here's today's menu. I have selected a couple topics. Hello, most welcome. Who are you?
Eva.
Eva, and you come from?
Spain.
Yes, I know. Please welcome. It's nice to make people a little bit embarrassed, you know. Okay. Since we have only 1.5 hours, we can't go through everything about Finnish basic education. So you find these slides already in Moodle, so if you have your laptops or anything. So you don't have to write down, but you can if you want. But these are the topics I've selected. Other things we can't talk today because it's such a short time. First thing. Preconceptions. You have your smartphones, you have your laptops, you have your iPads. Make groups of 3 or 4 and go to this website either by writing it or taking the QR code. What do you already know about Finnish basic education? Or what image do you have of Finnish basic education? 5 minutes in small groups, write your thoughts about Finnish, when you hear Finnish basic education, what comes to your mind? You know how to read QR codes. You should. Hey. It's enough, hey, it's enough if one person in a group have the access there. 1 minute. Okay, finish that sentence and then put your phones to the table. So we shall continue. Are you ready? So let's see what you have here. It's free. Finnish basic education contains from grade 1 to 9. Both correct. Grade 1 to 9 compulsory, free. Oops. Sorry. Lunch is provided. Definitely, yes. Start at 7 years old, most of the time. One of the best in the world. Can't comment on that. Free meals, yes. Little homework, lots of breaks. Yes, indeed, it's free. Principles of lifelong learning, yes, it is. Finnish students do well in international exams. Yes, quite well. They have inclusive education. Yeah, we tried that. Did Matti already gave you the lecture about special education? Yeah. Matti Korola. Yeah. So I think you know quite a lot about that topic now. Did kids don't get separated? Yeah. We have comprehensive school, same school for all. Small class size? Yes. Teachers have autonomy to design their lessons. Exactly. That's one of the major points. Good. It's inclusive. We try to be inclusive. I would say that we still have to work on that, but we try to be inclusive. Little homework. Definitely, if you look at my children, I have 3 kids, and they don't seem to have any homework ever. If I ask them. Good scores in PISA test. Yes. They can call a teacher by first name. Yeah, of course. Oh, no, sorry, not of course, but yes, in Finland, of course. Or you pupils can call teachers by nickname. So it depends on the class and the teacher. But never Professor Ikonen or Mr. Ikonen or anything like that.
Who decides the nickname?
Well, there are 2 kinds of nicknames. Those nicknames that you use about your teachers when the teacher is not present. And then those nicknames that both teacher and student accept. Yeah. But it's but the idea is that the relationship is very informal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the point. Yeah. Special education teacher. Sorry, we skipped. Children respect the teacher although they call them by name. Well, hopefully they respect. It varies depending on the age and the psychological development of the child. Each children have their own schedule and learning plan. Well, not exactly, not precisely every child. Many children have their individual learning plan, but not every child. School tools are provided, yes. Doors are open to everyone every day, yes. Pedagogical freedom, very much. The enhanced, the autonomy, absolutely. Number of teachers for a number of kids is high. Well, if you ask Finnish teachers, it should be higher. Compulsory, less lecture time and homework compared to South Asian countries. Definitely compared to South Asian countries, yes. free of charge, child-centered, yes. No standardized tests. That's another key point. And another main reason why we are succeeding so well. No rankings, 20 to 24 children per classroom, that varies, could be 32 sometimes. They do not wear uniform, no we don't. They can select courses based on the interest to a certain level, yes. Early lunch, yes, good point. Individual study plan to some students, yes. Inclusive, project-based learning and collaboration, very much, but not always. Involve and work with parents within the learning process. Yes. Lessons are given by class teachers on primary level. Yes. Special education teacher at every school. Yes. They can go outside. Definitely yes. First school was created in the 11th century. Very much. We should not look at this history. Time for free play. Absolutely. They can go outside during the breaks. Yes. The students can listen to music in class when they do individual work. Yes, it depends on the teacher. Yeah, but quite often. They start at the age of 7. They don't have exams to pass from one level to another. Lots of break times, compulsory and free, child-centered, non-school, state schools. That's a lot, all true. Yeah. Free meals, common to have nursery in school, yes. Start foreign language learning from 3rd grade. This is now changing in some schools already from 1st grade. More focus on assessment for learning than off learning, yes. They don't have so much private schools in Finland, just few elite schools. Well, we don't have actually elite basic education schools. We had a couple high schools, which you can call elite schools, but basic education, it's quite the same. No examination. Well, this is not exactly correct. We have exams, but not standardized national testing. Every teacher, they decide what kind of exams they do or plan. Toilet is not separate by gender. This varies still. It used to be. Class teacher, subject teacher. More activity outdoor. Core curriculum modified at the municipal or school level. They teach craft, indeed. Each teacher teaches max 4 hours per day. This is not correct. Can be easily 6 hours. Or 8 hours, no, not 8 hours. Well, it can be actually, 7 hours is maximum actually. Children can choose first language, yes. After school clubs, yes. Books for free, yes. Okay, that's it. So basically, you wrote everything we need, so we can go home now. Because you seem to know so much about Finnish education. Well, let's see if there's something that wasn't there. There's a video. We're not going to watch that now, but if you're interested, it's made by not Minister of Education, but National Board of Education. It's kind of general video about Finnish educational system. But we'll start here. Have you watched this structure? Is this familiar for you? Do you all know this by heart now? Okay, couple of minutes. Well, with Pia Parviainen, you spoke about early childhood and pre-primary, did you? Yes. And now we are here in basic education. You already talk about vocational and upper secondary. Good. Why I wanted to have this here is that to understand, well, the success of Finnish educational system or Finnish educational system in general is that it's very coherent system. So almost every child go to early childhood education. And nowadays, we could say 100% of children go to the pre-primary. And then they enter the comprehensive schools, the basic education. So we don't lose, in a way, we don't lose children on the way. We the system has been built so that we take care of the whole generation. And we start to monitor child's well-being actually before they were born. And we keep monitoring and watching the well-being of the child and trying to help every child as early as possible if they have any challenges in their learning. So this is a very solid system. No private schools or public schools. We have some which are more or less kind of semi-private schools. But also those schools, they follow the same national core curriculum. And this makes the system quite simple. Another thing is that even though most of the children, they go their school life in the same age group. Actually, that's one of the characteristics that we try to keep every child within their own age group. But at the same time, the system has certain flexibility. Here, we have pre-primary, and then the first grade in basic education. But in many municipalities, between here, we have what we call kind of start class. I'm not sure if Matti talked about that. So if, because pre-primary teachers and primary school teachers, they collaborate, and if they find out that a certain child is not ready to start the basic education after pre-primary year, they collaborate with the family, and the child don't stay in doesn't stay in a pre-primary school. The child comes to the primary education, but there's a kind of separate class between the pre-primary and the first grade. Same thing. After 9 years of basic education, if for some reason a young boy or a girl is not ready to continue to the upper secondary education, we have what we call 10th grade, not in every school, but in many municipalities, where for example, if the, for any reason, if the grades, the markings after the ninth grade are very low and the student can't access to the general upper secondary or vocational education, they can stay one more extra year on the 10th grade and study the basic education contents and trying to improve their grades so that they could continue. Please.
Is there a year long also between the pre-primary
and basic? Yeah. Actually, here it can be flexible. Sometimes it's only maybe one semester, but typically 1 year. Yeah. And now we have, like in Jyväskylä, we have, I'm sure if anyone of you have visited Puistokoulu in Jyväskylä. In Puistokoulu, they have combined the early childhood, pre-primary, and first years of the basic education so that they mix the children. They have pre-primary children and first grade children studying together so they can flexibly rearrange the grouping. We have also here, here we have the 10th grade, but then there should be one more box here, which is connected to the vocational education. I'm sure if you remember that many vocational education institutions, they offer kind of pre-vocational year. If the student, after the 9th grade, if the student doesn't know whether he wants to be a hairdresser or truck driver or musician or electrician, they can spend 1 year and studying a little bit of different topics from vocational education before they make the final decision, okay, my career is going to be in beauty and hairdressing, for example. Okay? So it's a solid system, but it's very flexible system in a way. And as you probably already know, we have tried to build the system so that there are no dead ends. So you can go through the vocational education, but still you can, if you want, after that, go to the university all the way to doctoral thesis. Or you can go to the general upper secondary and then decide that you go to the vocational side. Any questions? All clear, good. So, this is something in a way unique compared to many countries. About half of the generation goes to the, this is 2014, if you look at 2017, it's almost 50-50. When I was young, 40 years ago or something, not that much, but anyway, it was the culture, the general idea was that those who were good at school, they went to general upper secondary school. They went to high school. And those who were not so good in basic education, they went to the vocational side. That was culture in Finland a long time ago. But nowadays, it's not that way. There are certain courses or study topics on vocational side which are harder to get in than the general upper secondary. But the main idea here is to remember that over 90% of Finnish students continue after the basic education. And approximately 99.6% of Finnish children, they finish the basic education. So, one main idea in Finnish system is that we try to push and encourage all our children to continue as long as possible. And we have very little dropouts here. And many of you mentioned that the idea of inclusive education in your notes, and that's also one idea. We try to give basic education to every child in Finland. How many of you have visited Huhtasuo special school here? Did you go also to the department where they have quite severe handicapped children? Yes. We try to offer basic education also to the children who have very severe handicap, not just hearing or visual impairment, but all kind of handicaps. That's one main thing about our educational system. Okay, history in brief. First schools in 11th century, first Finnish language book, 1543. Public education started 1860s. Do you know anything about Finnish history about 18, 1860s or so. In 1860s, it was not part of Sweden. You are very close. We were part of Russia. We were part of Sweden approximately 1,000 years. 1,000 years, but then approximately 100 years, we were part of Russia. And in a way, we were lucky in that sense that if we stayed part of Sweden, we probably wouldn't be independent country with our own language and our own educational system. But because after the war, Russia conquered Finland, and the Russian Empire gave Finland a big autonomy, because he wanted, I don't want to go too deeply on this, but he wanted to Finland to be kind of a good example to the rest of the Europe, how modern state Russia can be. So Finland got a big autonomy, including a lot of own legislation and the opportunity to organize their own educational system. And we took the opportunity, we commit, and we started to organize our own public education in 1860s. And this is very strongly connected to Jyväskylä, because we also started to train Finnish-speaking primary school teachers. Even though we were part of Russia, we were allowed to train Finnish-speaking primary school teachers. And that started here in Jyväskylä, 1863. First place in Finland to train Finnish-speaking primary school teachers. So, and very quickly, because these first schools here, they were run by church. But then, very quickly, we had an independent a national school system, Finnish-speaking teacher education, like I said. Compulsory Education Act, 1921. We were already independent country at the time. And then big change, 1972, comprehensive school. Before that, we had a dual system, just like in many countries, that after the fourth grade, kids were separated to the talented ones and less talented ones and so on. But 1972, comprehensive school, so that every child went to the same school system and there was no segregation in that sense. The comprehensive school started from northern part, 1972, and it slowly, year by year, it came down to the southern Finland. I was born here, next to the Russian border. When I went to school in 1974, I was the first, part of the first generation in my city to go to comprehensive school. And simultaneously, very quickly after having this system, we started to train our teachers to the master's level, also primary school teachers. So this was big change and a remarkable effect to Finnish educational system. Any questions? All clear. Yes, please. Yeah. Excellent questions. You have to remember that decision to go to comprehensive school or Compulsory Education Act, for example, they are always political decisions. Not everyone agreed that we should have compulsory education for all. There were also political forces who said that, you know, if you live in a rural area in a small village, and your parents are farmers, why you should have a basic or both were very political decisions. First of all, why we should train every child, why we should offer basic education to every child. Same thing, even more bigger political debate was when we decided to combine and have solid comprehensive educational system. There were political parties, there were philosophical approaches. Someone said that, well, we come to the idea of equality and equity in a couple of minutes, so that's part of the idea. How early age we should start to separate children or make them to decide of their future career. Basically, the debate went that if you are going to be a bus driver, why you need 9 years of basic education, or even 6 years of basic education? Isn't it enough that you just learn to read and write and count, which you can learn in a couple of years? That was the debate, political debate. And this is also connected to the PISA results. I don't like to talk too much about PISA because it's just one international test. It's not that big deal. But late 1990s, before the first PISA results, there was again big political debate in Finland. There were certain stakeholders who said that this comprehensive school system is not good. It's actually total failure. Because, you know, you are forcing all the children going to the same school and studying the same curriculum and so on. And then we are losing the international competition and we can't produce enough smart individuals who will make us rich. It was a very strong debate late 1990s. And then came the first PISA results. 2000, I think it was 2000, 2002. No, 2000 maybe. And we were on the top. And it was big shock in Finland. And it kind of cut the political debate because suddenly it was very difficult to argue that the system is bad because we are on the top of the PISA. Of course, there was this kind of argument, well, the PISA is not really telling the truth, that we are actually very, very poor and our kids are not learning properly, even though they succeed in PISA. And this debate has continued ever since. But yes, it's always political. You have to remember that this kind of decisions, they are political decisions. They might have some argumentation, scientific research behind them, but it's the final decision is always political on a national level. Please. The arguments are that we should focus more to the most talented ones and put more resources for training them, and then the less talented ones we should just give the basic education a couple of years and put them to work on the fields or something like that. So it's really, it goes back to the basic questions, what's the purpose of basic education? How much the basic education should serve the needs of the individual, or the needs of the society, or the needs of the business part of the society.
And what was the system like between compulsory and comprehensive?
It was a dual system. So everyone studied first 3 years or 4 years in a basic education, and then they had to select more academic or more vocational side. And it was kind of, once you make this the decision at the age of 10 or 11, that was the way you went. There was no turning back. It's very difficult to change your direction. More questions? Nope. So, here is the question. Do we offer equality or equity? And this was one of the debate. Do we offer exactly the same to everyone? Or do we recognize that children are different and individuals, and we should offer them individual learning opportunities? So, equity in education in Finland. Well, first of all, it is recognized that we are a small country when it comes to population, approximately 5 million inhabitants. But in geographically, we are a big country. Equity in Finnish education means social, geographical, and economical equality or equity. The main idea is that it doesn't matter whether you live in a small rural village in northern Finland or in the capital center of Helsinki. You will have same quality teachers, same curriculum, same learning materials, similar quality of school meal. So the geographical equity means that. Same thing with the social and economical equality. It doesn't matter, basically, of course this is not that simple, but the aim is that it doesn't matter if you are a child of an unemployed single mother, or if you are if your parents are both rich entrepreneurs, you go to the same school, to the same class, you have same resources, same curriculum. Come to the funding later, but the funding mostly comes from the government.
Okay.
The funding to the basic education comes from the government.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the municipality can decide to put some extra money. But still, even a small village, the rich kids and the poor kids go to the same school. Well, you know, education is free at all levels. Every pupil and student has the right to educational support. Strong support for the children with special needs. I think Matti spoke to you about the idea or philosophy of early intervention, did he? Yeah, three-tier support. And the idea of early intervention means that we try to recognize as early as possible if a child has any challenges, emotional learning challenges, social behavior challenges, and we try to give the support as early and as quickly as possible. Of course, it doesn't always go that way, but that's the main ideology. Because we know, based on our research, that if we can give the support as early as possible, it helps the child better, and it's also cheaper. We recognize language minorities and migrants. Every child living in Finland has the right to come to our basic education. So if you are an immigrant or a refugee coming from Syria, and you have 8 years old child, they have the right to come to Finnish basic education school, just like original Finnish children. We have language minorities like Lapish people, Sami people living in Lapland, and the situation could be better, but at least they have the right to have the education with their own language. Highly educated professional teachers for everyone. So in the 1970s, when we changed our teacher education to go to the master's, we wanted to secure that every school in Finland has well-educated professional teachers. Simultaneously, we started to close down our school inspection system because we thought that since the teachers are well educated, we don't need school inspectors. And of course, we saved some money on that, and at least the idea was that we invest all the money that we can save from the school inspection system, we can invest to train our teachers, offer them in-service trainings. National curriculum, same curriculum framework to the whole country. Any questions? Please.
Yep.
We consider them to be qualified teachers, and we offered quite a lot of resources for in-service training for those teachers. So many Finnish teachers, before that time, Finnish primary school teachers, they had their bachelor. Bachelor was the level. So quite a lot of Finnish teachers either took a leave from their work to study their master's degree, or we had a different kind of programs where they were, we had kind of on-the-job learning programs. So they were teaching and studying their master's. Or not, if not master's, at least some in-service training to improve their teaching. Okay? More questions, please? Shortly, no one is inspecting our Finnish teachers. When I was a teacher, well, the doors were open. So sometimes maybe one of the parents wanted to see what is happening in the classroom, because we were, me and my colleague, we were experimenting quite a lot of things, but they didn't come there to inspect. Or the school principal never comes to inspect your teaching. You might ask the school principal, could you come and observe my lesson, because I have challenges with a couple of the kids, so could you come and observe? But it's never, you know, judging. The idea is not that someone is judging or grading your teaching. And since we don't have national standardized testing in basic education, you can't put individual schools in order, because there isn't any kind of criteria how to put them in order in that sense. And that is very important, because we know that the standardized testing is ruling what is happening in the school. Did I answer your question? Good. We'll continue. It depends. Of course, the main idea is that the teacher and family collaborate all the time. But sometimes there can be a situation where the parents think that this teacher is not good enough or not suitable enough to our children. So then they contact the principal, and it's based on negotiations. They can't change the teacher. I mean, they can't. It's very difficult in Finland to fire a teacher. You must if you're a Finnish teacher, you must be. You must have very severe alcoholic problem or drug problem or child abuse to be fired. So teacher's position is very strong. Even if you have alcoholic problem. First thing is that the municipality has to offer you aid and support and kind of treatment. They can't just kick you off. But if the parents really think that this is not good, this class is not good for our children, they can ask that the child goes to another school or to another class in the same school, but they don't have kind of simple right to say, okay, our child goes from this class to that. It's always based on negotiations. But it's possible. It depends. It depends on the reason why. Is it just because we don't like male teachers? We would like to have women teacher for our children. What is the reason? Is there some really well-argumented reason? Usually, the reason is not the teacher. Usually the reason for child to change from one class to another class is behavioral problem, a bullying, or this kind of something in the classroom between the pupils is not working very well. It's very rare that the parents would like to change the class because they think that the teacher is not good enough. It's very rare. Definitely, it must have happened sometimes, but it's very rare. Please.
Does it happen that children have to repeat the school year?
It's very rare. Nowadays, we try to avoid that to the as long as possible. We try to keep, we want to keep the child within the same age group and offer more support, maybe more individualized educational plan. When I was kid, it was typical to repeat, but based on our research, we know that it's better for the child to stay. The group is so important. We want them to stay in the same class. Equity in assessment. The basic simple idea of standardized testing is that one size fits all. Everyone is doing the same assessment in fourth grade mathematics spring semester. Well, in Finland we have the idea that teacher knows how different his or her students are. Teacher knows what they've been doing during the mathematics lessons, so the teacher will decide the assessment. Whether it's self-assessment or peer assessment, whether it's formative assessment or summative assessment. Or, for example, my daughter is now, a youngest daughter is now on the eighth grade, but already when she was at fifth grade, let's say in mathematics, when they had exam in her class, the teacher was offering three different levels of mathematics exams. The silver level, the gold level, and the diamond level, depending on their level of difficulty. And she was teaching the pupils to self-evaluate, okay, I think that in this period of mathematics, it's good for me to take the silver level. Maybe next time I try the gold level. Why? Why three different exams? Well, the idea is that if you offer the silver level to all children, it's too easy for certain children. But if you offer the diamond level to every children, it's too difficult. There are my children who get 0 points, and you might think that they don't know anything about mathematics. But if they take the silver level, they can show something what they have learned. And that's the whole idea of the assessment, to get information what they have learned. This is not compulsory. Not every Finnish teacher does it, but it's quite common. Please.
No.
Children and families and teachers are still comparing children against each other, even though some of the teachers are having different levels of exams. But children are very good to recognize, okay, you are better in mathematics than I am, but I'm better in sports than you are. You know, that's part of the human nature. So this kind of comparison happens. And many teachers still have just one exam for the whole class. But in general, the main idea, just like someone wrote there, that we try to emphasize that the purpose of assessment in Finnish education is assessment for learning. Because if you only think assessment, that it's kind of assessment of learning. So it means that you're always looking backwards. You study 4 weeks of biology, and then you have test, and the test is looking backwards what you have learned during the 4 weeks. And then something new comes, and it's very difficult if after 4 weeks you recognize that you have missed most of the biology lessons or learning. It's very difficult to catch up. So in Finnish philosophy or ideology, the idea is that there must be some kind of reflective assessment and process assessment during the learning process so that teacher can give help already during the period. Okay. Let's keep going. This is from the Constitution of Finland. It shows that we value basic education very high because it's in our constitution. Then some characteristics. Most of you we have said already. Compulsory, free of charge, no uniforms, no school costumes. And then grades 1 to 9. First we have primary level, 1 to 6, where we have class teacher. And class teacher is teaching basically all the subjects to one class. Some subject may be taught by subject teacher. But in class teacher system, we have primary school, and let's say that we are five of us. We all are teaching sixth grade in our school. In Finnish basic education system, the teacher autonomy and freedom gives our opportunity to collaborate and decide that, well, we all have our own sixth grade classes, but since you are good in music, you will teach music to, well, all the classes or some of the classes. And while you are teaching music to his class, he is coming to your class and teaching art. And if you are good in physical education, we can decide before the school year starts that while you are teaching physical education to my class, I come to your class and teach craft. And teachers can negotiate and collaborate. Of course, they have to inform the principal, but they don't need any kind of official permit to switch classes. And that is something very common in Finland, and we try to encourage teachers to this kind of collaboration. It gives a lot of flexibility, and it gives, for the teachers, it gives the opportunity to utilize their strengths. And for the children, it gives the opportunity to get better teaching. And that is not very common in many countries I've visited. In many countries, it's very strict. Teachers can't make this kind of decisions by themselves. Yes, please. No, because Finnish class teacher, if you study to be a Finnish class teacher, you do your master's in this special program, which is designed for class teaching. So you study all these subjects. You make basic courses in music, art, history, mathematics, biology, craft, physical education. You do basic courses in every subject, and then you study a lot of pedagogical thinking and the educational sciences. So then you are qualified to teach all the subjects on these grade levels. You're not qualified to teach music on the lower secondary, but on primary level, you are qualified. Nowadays, we have more schools where all the grades are together. So we have schools where we have grades from 1 to 9. But we have two different kind of teachers, or several kind of teachers. But we have class teachers, and then grade 7 to 9, we have subject teachers. Although, nowadays, many of Finnish teachers have what we call double degree. Like me, myself, I'm qualified class teacher, and then I have also made a minor studies in craft and technology education, so I'm qualified to teach technology and craft also 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And many subject teachers, they study minor studies on this area, so they are qualified to teach on primary level. This is important from our point of view. 99.7% of Finnish youngsters complete the basic education. And we consider this to be extremely important. We don't have any big natural resources. We don't have oil or gas or diamonds or whatever. So our best natural resource is human beings. We have to train all our children as long as possible. Teaching provided by schools near home. We have this kind of near home, near school system. So all the kids from certain geographical area go to the same school, no matter what kind of family background they have. Only very few private schools Voluntary morning and afternoon activities provided by school or local authorities, especially for the first and second grader, because the school days are very short. First and second graders, they have approximately 18 hours a week, 18 to 20 hours, so it's approximately 4 hours. The school day for first and second graders is approximately 4 hours. And of course, if their parents are working, the working days are longer. So the question is what the kids will do outside the school. So the schools and local clubs are offering different kind of after-school or preschool activities so that the kids have nice things to do. Very basic facts. It used to be always 45 minutes lesson and 15 minutes break. Nowadays it can vary. Like if you go to Norssi here, the university school, they have 75 minutes lessons and then longer break. Very little homework. This is something very often international visitors recognize when they come to Finnish school. We still do have this kind of teaching in Finnish schools, that one is talking and 50 is listening. Well, in basic education, 25 is listening. But that is not the main method of teaching in Finnish basic education. We emphasize active learning, collaborative learning, problem-based learning, many names for the same similar kind of things. But especially on early years, we encourage learning through play. Of course, kids can, when they have the break, they go outside and then they can play freely without any guidance. But also during the lessons, how many of you have been able to observe Finnish? One. How many have you been observing first or second graders? Did you see any learning through play there? I hope you saw, because it should be. Of course, we can discuss what we mean when we say learning through play. What kind of play? And basically, on or any kind of activity that, if not all, but most of the kids find fun. It's fun to learn mathematics when you have equipments and you can build things, or you have some games or whatever. School is not always fun, but it should be fun every now and then, because it enhances learning. We have talked about this. We try to take care of all our kids. And these are actually from our national core curriculum. This is kind of difficult concept, maximizing potential. Because sometimes you get the feeling that it's pointing towards that you try to get everything out from individual child, you know. But it's more like offering opportunities for individual child to grow and develop. And even though the pressure from business and economics is sometimes very strong, the main idea of Finnish education, basic education, is to give support and resources for the child to grow as a whole human being. human being who can find his or her own interest, own strengths, and then find their own place in the society. And to do that, these are the areas of viewpoints that we should focus in our basic education. Student welfare, how much Matti talk you about this, these topics? Okay. Well, the basic idea is that since we don't focus in basic education just for the cognitive development of the child, we want to take care of every part of human life. So that's why we have student welfare system. We have different professionals at school, school nurses, school psychologists, guidance and counselors, study counselors. Have you been studying as what is study counselor in Finnish school? Everyone is so tired, afraid of Friday afternoon. We have these special professional study counselors. They mostly work on the lower secondary school, grade 7, 8, 9. They are not nurses, they are not psychologists, they are they have a master's degree in guidance and counseling. Professionals who help students in any kind of challenges of their personal life or study life. And they are very important individuals on lower secondary basic education. When the children, they come to their puberty, and the psychological and mental development can be a little bit chaotic at the time. They face different kind of challenges. They need professionals who are not teachers, but who understand how the school works. And they are professionals who the children can rely that whatever the child is telling to the study counselor stays there. Same thing with school nurses. On primary level, the school nurse is a person that the child can tell anything, and the nurse cannot pass the information without the child's permit, not even to the parents. And that is very important part of the relationship of different professionals. We do have bullying in Finnish schools, like in everywhere around the world. There's always bullying at school. How many of you have been bullying someone when you were at school? I did. I feel awfully sorry for that. Have you been bullied? How many of you have been bullied by someone? Me too. I've done both roles. That's part of human nature. It's not the question whether we have bullying or not at school. The question is that what kind of structures or processes we have to prevent bullying, and what kind of structures and processes we have if bullying happens. There are several kind of ways of preventing bullies. You have heard maybe the Kivakoulu, I'm not sure how you heard. That's a national anti-bullying system developed at the University of Turku. And then we have Prokoulu, which was developed here in our university. Kind of systems and programs for the teachers to prevent bullying or to solve the challenges if bullying exists. And after being a teacher for several years, it's not easy it's extremely difficult even to recognize bullying in your classroom because the students are so clever to hide the bullying. So best thing to do is that you know your students very well. You know your students so you can recognize if something is changing in their mood. Then you can get ideas, okay, now I should know something. Curriculum, extremely important part of Finnish basic education. We have national core curriculum. Of course, there's Basic Education Act on the bottom. So same curriculum framework to whole country, every primary school, every secondary school, lower secondary. But it's a framework. It gives a lot of, quite a lot of flexibility. So municipalities within the framework can write their own curriculum that recognizes the local specialties or local needs or local flora and fauna. Bye. And then the school can even write their own curriculum, or they have to write own curriculum. Of course, it must stay within the framework already written, so that the students living in a very northern Finland, they study at certain subjects, they study different things than students living in the southern Finland. But the most important part is that teacher can decide how and what we are studying when we are studying history and ancient Rome, for example, or ancient Greek. So teacher, based on his or her knowledge of the class, make the final decisions and adjustments, and then the decisions about the assessment. So from written curriculum, we go to taught curriculum, which finally creates some learning experiences. And since the children are different and teachers are different, we think that it's important to have flexibility in written curriculum. Just like in assessment, one size doesn't fit all. Same thing in the curriculum. Of course, it means that teachers are highly trained professionals who are able to adjust their teaching so that it doesn't come kind of randomized or you know, I don't like this part. I don't like music at all, so we don't study music in our class. That is not possible. Because teachers' duty is to offer opportunity to every child to learn music or anything else. These are the questions that Finnish teachers, when they are teaching basic education, they have to consider, and they have to discuss, and they have to reflect as individuals, or especially on the school level, because we think that the school as a learning community, it's more important than just individual teachers. Four minutes to go. In Finnish curriculum, we have the subjects and the subject objectives and the contents, but then we have transversal competencies. You could call them 21st century skills if it's familiar to you. So the competencies which cannot be put inside one school subject, but should be considered in every subject. And this is quite tricky, because very often the subject content is ruling and guiding Finnish basic education so strongly that these kind of things are forgotten. We are not perfect. We would like to be, but we are not. Do you understand all this? Could you explain, if someone asked, what is ICT competence or working life competence and entrepreneurship? What is multi-literacy? Who would like to explain multi-literacy? Okay. Especially based on the idea that instead of reading a text from printed book,